That was disrespectful. Live from the greatest city in the greatest state in the greatest country on the second greatest planet in the solar system, it's episode number 273 of the award-winning Midday with Trey and BK. On today's show at 10:45, there were fireworks aplenty at last night's All-Star game with an Astro winning MVP. At 10:30, where are we at in society? Pedophiles are trying to rebrand. And in mere minutes, the Kawhi drama is finally over for Spurs fans, plus more recap from Big 12 Media Days. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is the Horns fantasy sports expert and one-time gigolo, Adam Wagner. What's up, Wags?
Good to see your all's faces again, man.
Likewise, buddy. And the one Jew in a sea of Gentiles here at the Horn, living a trucker lifestyle that includes the fastest cattle prod this side of Dirty Sixth, he is Brad Kellner.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
Because I've never been fluent in Australian. That's a different language that I just don't know.
No yelling on the bus!
BK, I'm going to make a prediction at the start of today's show.
Okay.
We had entirely too much prep time today. Therefore, I think it's going to be a bad program. So, good luck. How you doing today?
You're putting a hex on the program very early on.
Trying to reverse hex the program.
We're trying to get listeners to our show. We're not trying to lose listeners 2 minutes in. You don't tell people it's going to be a bad show at the very start. Come on, man.
It's just a hunch.
Well, no.
Only because we had a full hour to actually prep, and we were done with prep with like 30 minutes to go.
I wasn't doing a whole lot of prepping. I was doing my normal bit of just pacing in circles and talking to anybody I could talk to.
Causing havoc around the building.
This place is a damn zoo. I mean, there's dogs in here every day. I've got dog hair on all my clothes, my hands. You know, when you pet dogs, your hands just smell like them. This place is a damn zoo. Going on here. But now it's good to be back. Good to have you back. It's your first show here in Austin since, the 5th? July 5th?
Yeah, nearly 2 weeks. And I mean, 2 weeks ago it was July 4th, of course. I had a day and a half after that, but it really does feel like I've been away from this place for the entire month of July because I just about have been between the vacation, then Big 12 Media Days up in Dallas the last couple days here. It's good to be back, though. I always like coming back to work because I love work.
We got plenty of asbestos on the ceiling in the studio, so it's good to be back a part of that as well.
Sure, I'll be sneezing and coughing in no time flat.
Hey, they say July's a pretty slow time for sports. That's not the case, thankfully. We got plenty of drama going on in the three major American sports. Of course, the Kawhi Leonard trade we'll get to. We just got it confirmed. Ari Temkin of Phantom, longtime ESPN San Antonio host. He will join the program at 11:05 today to give his thoughts on the Kawhi to Toronto deal, what the Spurs are getting in return for Kawhi Leonard. So we'll have that insider perspective coming up in about an hour. We will recap Tom Herman, what he had to say at Big 12 Media Days up in Frisco, and give our thoughts. I'll ask you the question, Trey. Does your opinion on who wins the Big 12 Conference in 2018 change? Has it changed over what you saw from the last 2 days? We'll also get to an interesting piece of audio. It was a question posed during the Tom Herman sort of state of the program press conference. By one Kirk Bowles of the Austin American-Statesman. And at the time it was asked, I'll be honest, I thought it was an awful question. But the more I've re-listened to the question and Herman's answer and kind of the backlash that it's created, I'm starting to think that, well, that might have been the piece of controversy or the headline that we were looking for as media. So we'll get to that. We'll play that in a couple of minutes.
It's either that or Brecken Hager and the story that Tom Herman told about he and Brecken's relationship last year.
Oh, I don't know if I heard that one.
I'll pull that one up. We may have to play that at some point as well.
So we'll get to that as well. Of course, the All-Star game last night in Major League Baseball, very entertaining. A Houston Astro winning MVP. Of course, Alex Bregman, member of the tribe, go Jews. And, of course, it was an Astro beating the Dodgers in the 10th inning, which I'm sure Houston fans got a kick of.
Why are you saying go O.J. Simpson regarding the AL All-Star game? Go Juice?
No, not go Juice. Go Jews. Go Jewish people. Alex Bregman, member of the tribe.
That's right.
There's not a whole lot of us out there. There's not a whole lot of athletes.
Sean Green, Alex Bregman, Sandy Koufax, and you.
Hank Greenberg. Don't forget about that guy. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of Jewish doctors and lawyers, and they own and run Hollywood. But the athletic genes are not always there for the members of the tribe. So whenever we get one, you know, regardless of what team you support, you got to support the Juice.
Don't forget Amari Stoudemire.
Amari Stoudemire, yes, a proud convert. That dude can read Hebrew probably better than I can. I will tip the cap there. And the biggest headline of the day, someone on the Dallas Wings apparently scored 53 points in a game last night, but they still play at UT Arlington, so not sure they're really worth talking about. Plenty to get to today, though, Trey. We'll start with the Big 12 Media Days, man. Of course, we were up there the last 2 days. Yesterday was a heck of a show. We were in the prime time slot to take care of business and to have prime coverage of Texas Longhorn football. We had the opportunity to talk to Patrick Vahe and Chris Nelson. Of course, Athletic Director Chris Del Conte and Tom Herman, the head man himself. So fun conversations yesterday. Your overall thoughts? Yes, sir.
Real quick before we get to the overall thoughts, I did want to give people a note that if you want to go back and listen to any of the interviews that we had over the last 2 days, you can actually do so at hornfm.com. There's a link in the news feed. It says something to the effect of Midday with Trey and BK live from Big 12 Media Days. Every interview that we did over the last 2 days is there. That includes Herman, Del Conte, Joel Klatt, who is still buying big time on Texas Longhorn football, Brady Quinn,
yeah,
Justin Wells, Ian Boyd, lots of other great football conversations had over the last few days. You can find that right now at hornfm.com.
No doubt. No doubt. Check that out. We had the opportunity to talk to some pretty cool people. And one more thank you to our great sponsors for sending us up there. Of course, AV Consultations. You hear us talk about them a lot on the Midday Show. Get your TV setup done right with avconsultations.com. Tom McKay and the crew getting it done. And, of course, Lone Oak Motors, Bart and Bruce, taking care of business for more than a decade. They are Austin's premier used car dealers. They can get you whatever you want. Locally owned and operated down at the Drip, Lone Oak Motors and AV Consultations. We thank them a ton for letting us go up there. All right, Trey, we'll start with Texas before we get to overall thoughts from Big 12 Media Days from some of the other teams across the conference. Impressions, did your opinion of anything change about the Texas Longhorns and their prospects in the 2018 season from what you saw in Frisco over the last couple of days?
I think I feel a little bit better about my 9-win prediction right now than I did going into Monday and Tuesday, and that is because you've heard Tom Herman say all the right things in terms of this team learning how to finish this offseason. Also, hearing him not give a flat-out denial to the prospect of him doing more in the way of play calling on the offensive end as well. I think this Texas football team, in terms of the coach, the head coach, and also the players that we had the chance to speak with yesterday, and also the players who we did not speak with, who were also there, Breckenhager and Andrew Beck, really expressed the right kind of confidence, I think, to where I am feeling better about that 9-win prediction. That's something I'm probably going to stick with until the start of the season now.
Yeah, you know, there's reason to be optimistic if you're a Texas football fan. And the players and Tom Herman yesterday seemed optimistic, seemed ready to go, excited about the upcoming season. You can tell Coach Herman was a little bit more relaxed going into year two.
That's why I asked him about that. And he didn't seem offended by it, but he seemed maybe a little bit taken aback. Like, I'm always a relaxed dude away from the football field.
Yeah, he seemed a little bit more relaxed going into this year. Of course, he knows the pressure's on for Texas Longhorn football, and they've got to get back to some sort of prominence this year. But all the players, I had the opportunity to talk one-on-one with Andrew Beck during the breakout sessions in the afternoon. He's really confident about this team as well. And they're just ready to go, man. I mean, that was sort of the thing preached from every team across Big 12 Media Days. It's like, we're just ready to start hitting people and playing against dudes in different colored uniforms, right? They're ready for the game. 45 days away from the return of Big 12 football. Of course, Texas taking on Maryland September 1st. Guys are confident. Even asked a guy on Baylor, Ira Lewis, one of their stud defensive linemen. He said their goal is to win a national championship. So everybody's goal is to win the Big 12 and to win a national championship. But no, Texas players and Tom Herman seemingly very, very confident and excited for the 2018 season.
Interesting that none of the guys we asked about expectations for 2018 set a bar. None even really said Big 12 championship. They said, look, we're taking it one day, one game at a time.
One
and if things shake out, they shake out. Tom Herman was the guy who came closest, at least in the conversations that you and I had with various people, Chris Del Conte, the players, also Tom Herman, who said, look, if we can do the little things to finish games off, then we think we have a good chance of being in the Big 12 conversation come November.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely
Agreed.
Right. And, you know, Tom Herman's introductory press conference, some interesting things that were said. He didn't give you a whole lot, right, to the surprise of nobody. You know, no quarterback was announced. It's still a battle between Sam Ehlinger and Shane Buechele, and he did mention the two incoming freshmen as well. Talked about the culture, how the culture is a little bit more ingrained going into year two and guys are more bought into the system. Mentioned that he's really excited. Didn't give an answer on the play caller as well. And I was a little bit surprised by that. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, Trey, but somebody during the press conference, during the Q&A session, asked Tom Herman, hey, what's your thoughts on you potentially taking over as the play caller and what sort of is your leash? If Tim Beck, Herb Hand, Drew Maringer, whatever the original plan is, doesn't work, what is your leash before you start to take over? And when Herman was asked that question last year, he always said, I've got faith in these guys to figure it out. I'm not going to take over the play calling, right? There's too much responsibility that goes with being a head coach. I don't think I can be as good of a head coach if I'm also calling the plays on the side. This year, though, when he was asked that question, he said, oh, it's a good thing it's July and we don't have to make those decisions right now. So I thought that was a little bit interesting. I know there's a lot of Longhorn fans out there who would prefer and be happy with Tom Herman taking over as the play caller for this offense because of his track record. I was surprised that he didn't really shut the door when that question was asked about him potentially being the OC as well.
Look, your primary rival is coached by a guy right now who's looked at as a version of what Tom Herman is. But on top of that, he's also looked at as one of those innovative offensive minds who is taking things in his control, even as head coach. And I think that's why a lot of Longhorn fans are starting to push and pressure a little bit for Tom Herman to do the same thing, because what are people saying about Oklahoma this year? That even though they lost Baker Mayfield, because Lincoln Riley is still in charge of that offense, the offense is going to be perfectly fine. The question really, the questions for the Sooners really all come on the defensive end. Now, I think that there are some fair questions on the offensive side as well, because there is going to be a step back. How big of a step back, that remains to be seen with Baker Mayfield no longer in the fold. But because Lincoln Riley is in charge of the offense,
yep,
those questions aren't as magnified as they would be otherwise.
No, you're right. And, we mentioned this yesterday. Whatever the original plan is going into the season, going into that Maryland game, whether it's Tim Beck or Herb Hand or a combination of those two and Tom Herman, I don't care. If you're a Texas fan, you hope that whatever the initial plan is for calling plays on offense, you hope that remains the case from September through December. You hope it works well enough to where nothing has to change, and whatever happens, whatever the plan is from day one, remains the plan throughout the course of the season.
And at the very least, I want to see more of what we saw late last year, and especially in the bowl game, and that is Tom Herman's fingerprints clearly being on the first 10 to 15 scripted plays of the game, as well as him utilizing that veto power a little bit more, too.
No doubt. He did mention that as well, that he does have the ability, he being Tom Herman, does have the ability to veto any play that is called by anybody else. So ultimately, it is Tom Herman's offense, and he does have the final say on each and every play that is called in. All right, Trey, the sort of headline-making piece, if you will. And it's not like Tom Herman said anything in this answer to this Kirk Bowles question. It's not like he really said anything that
he didn't give a specific player name.
Was earth-shattering by any stretch. You know, if you don't have the full context of it, it's not like he had a ridiculous quote that said, oh, we're going to go 13-0, we're going to win the Big 12, we're going to play for the college football playoff this year. But he was asked by Kirk Bowles, and we do have the back-and-forth Q&A right here. He was asked about the talent level, basically, at the University of Texas, and if he feels that UT, that this football team, has elite championship-caliber players who can go out and win championships. We'll play the clip first, and then we'll give our thoughts on both the question and sort of the way Tom Herman handled the response.
Hey, Tom. Kurt Bolson, the Austin American. Oklahoma had four All-Americans last year and came within an overtime of getting to the championship game. You had one All-American, a punter, who's gone. How many elite players do you feel like you have on this roster that can be difference makers and win championships?
Some. I don't know. You kind of put me on the spot there. I haven't tallied up difference makers and championship level guys, and I don't know that it's fair for me to give an assessment with the limited time that I have to think about that question. But I do think that there are guys on both sides of the ball, probably more, if I'm being honest, on defense than on offense right now. But we've also, again, signed a top five recruiting class too. And so I have yet to see those guys play a snap of college football or even practice in college football. So I do think that we have some. I think every coach that sits up here would tell you not enough. Even the ones that are playing for and winning national championships. But I do think that we're getting closer and closer to those elite programs in terms of the necessary elite championship caliber talent.
Now, let's start off with the basic notion that he floated, and whether or not you agree with this, that there are more of those types of guys on the defensive side of the ball versus offense for Texas.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I don't think you can disagree with that. With what we saw from this defensive unit last year and what we saw from this offense a year ago, it's safe to assume that there is more talented players on the defensive side of the football, despite all the guys that they left, that they lost in the offseason, than the offensive side.
And I think the other thing to take from this is that that number has been going up pretty consistently, even going back to Charlie Strong's days. Now, you can make the argument of whether or not those players were being developed correctly. And fortunately, with the new coaching staffs come in, you saw some of those guys start to reach their potential last year, guys like Malik Jefferson and some dudes like that. But the level of talent at Texas is better right now versus where it was 5 years. There are more championship caliber players on this roster now.
Yeah, I just didn't like the way Tom Herman handled that question, to be perfectly honest.
How so?
Well, I didn't like the 10 seconds of silence, that's for sure. It wasn't a difficult question that Kirk Bowles asked. Now, Kirk Bowles was using it to write a story. He wrote a piece in the Austin American Statesman today about how there is a lack of elite talent at the University of Texas, and I think that's kind of unfair on Kirk Bowles' part to spin that in that way, but it's newspaper. You're looking for whatever you can to get clicks these days. I get that. But it wasn't that difficult of a question. I didn't like 10 seconds, then you say some. I would have preferred him to say, well, we feel like we've got some great talent this year, right? We've got a lot of guys. He doesn't have to mention individual names, but look, we've got a lot of guys on both sides of the ball that we feel confident that can help us compete for the conference championship this year or help us improve from last year. It's a very basic answer he had to give, and instead he almost seemed taken aback by a question that wasn't that difficult to answer. It's just like, how many elite, like, he obviously doesn't have to give a number. Right? He could have been funny and said, I don't know, Kirk, we have 14 elite players who I feel like can help us win championships. He could have been funny like that, but just say something basic like, oh, we feel like we've got a really talented team this year. We've got a lot of guys on offense and defense who we're excited about, guys who have been here for a couple of years now. We've got more experience. We've got more depth. We think these dudes are going to take the next step and help us be more competitive this year in 2018. Just some basic coach speak instead of being completely taken aback and almost baffled by what wasn't that off the wall of a question. It's not like this is an Anthony Geronimo question like, hey, what's your favorite Thanksgiving turkey or something like that. It's just a normal question that Kirk Bowles asked, and Tom Herman almost seemed like shocked that it was posed to him and that he had to answer it.
You know, that's interesting because your perception that he was taken aback or annoyed or whatever by that question, I look at as him actually taking the 3 to 5 seconds of silence to try and give a thoughtful response to what turned out to be a pretty good question. So I don't necessarily have an issue with him taking a second to think about that because I think it provided more of a thoughtful answer versus the standard press conference cliche jargon that coaches tend to give in those situations. And I think it provided us a pretty good talking point to discuss ourselves today as well. And that includes there being more talent on the defensive side of the ball versus the offensive. And I think that speaks to a larger point as to why Herman and Del Conte specifically weren't willing to say we should be competing for a Big 12 championship this year, because I feel like Tom Herman believes that they're still maybe a year away from that point, that things could happen the way that they need to this year for Texas to find itself in the Big 12 championship hunt. But for sure, starting in 2019, they will have championship caliber players on both sides of the ball, enough so that they'll actually comfortably be able to say that we want to compete for a Big 12 championship this year.
And I don't think anything Tom Herman said was wrong, right? I just talked about it. You know, there's more talent on the defense, and every coach in this conference in the country would like to have more elite level players who can help them win championships. It's not like Herman came out and lied about anything, but it was more than 3 to 5 seconds of silence, man. That was closer to 10 seconds. I cut that thing up, and it's the first word. It's almost like we could make it a drop, just Tom Herman saying some.
Play the beginning again, please.
That ain't thoughtful. ain't thoughtful saying some is your first word there. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
That can be difference makers and win championships.
Some.
All right, that was 10 seconds of silence.
I mean, some.
Well, that's not what I wanted to hear. Some.
I mean, you know, the sum may not have been a great part of that answer, but he didn't give a bad answer after that, though. He gave a thoughtful answer, I thought.
Man.
And in this day and age where you've come to expect nothing but cliched BS out of coaches, that was maybe a moment of truthfulness, a moment that showed just kind of where he is with this program right now, that he is positive. He is buying on this program. Obviously, he's the head coach of this program, but he maybe believes that they're still a year away before they're where he wants them to be.
I wanted something more confident. And of course, I'm overreacting to the situation, right? It's just words that are being spoken 45 days before a football game's actually being played. But that just sounded, and you might be right, Trey. I mean, he might have that feeling deep down that on this team, this program's still a year away from actually competing for championships like they want to, but I don't want to feel that way. I don't want the coach to be addressing the media like that's the case. I want him to be confident. Like, Baylor has no chance to win the Big 12 this year. I like that their players are going out and saying, look, we're trying to compete for a Big 12 championship this year. That's everybody's goal. Why would it not be anybody's goal? I don't know. Maybe making something out of nothing right there.
But for Baylor, that's just totally empty rhetoric. And for Herman, the reality of what Texas is right now is something that he's probably talking to his players behind the scenes at. Like, look, you guys can work your asses off and you can win a lot of close games that you were losing last year, and you will find yourself in the Big 12 championship hunt. Of course, there's unforeseen things that you can't plan for in a football season, injuries being one of the biggest, right? So I think Tom Herman is setting more realistic expectations. If you're setting a realistic bar, it's much easier to get over that bar versus Baylor players, or as much as I love Matt Campbell, Iowa State players, or Texas Tech players saying, yo, yeah, we're gonna vie for the Big 12 championship this year, when in reality, that is absolutely not going to happen for any of those teams.
You got to have that winner's mindset, man, that winner's mentality. Kansas has to come into the year thinking that they're going to win two games this year.
There's optimism, there is also pessimism, and then there's also a certain stoicism that comes into play in all walks of life, but especially sports. And if you're stoic enough to know that you have a chance to be great, but you're not going to be braggadocious about that. We saw this with Texas before the Texas Bowl, where Missouri was talking copious amounts of trash. And Texas, they kind of let things happen. There was a little bit that was talked about, but they said, you know what? We're going to let our actions on the field speak for themselves. Now, by the end of the game, they were talking a lot of trash themselves. They were securing bags, all sorts of things like that. And so they had let their actions on the field speak, and then they actually were able to chime in after that. So I don't necessarily have an issue with Herman being a little bit more modest with that answer.
All right, before we get out of here for this segment, we'll continue to recap Big 12 Media Days all day and all week long right here on the flagship station for University of Texas Athletics. By the way, Tom Herman will be on with Chad and Kevin this afternoon, so be sure to be tuned into the afternoon, guys, to get a more in-depth conversation with the head football coach.
I think that's either 5:30 or 6, maybe.
Okay. Well, I got to double check on that. We'll figure that one out. Oh, yeah, you produced that show. You'd think you'd...
I mean, in theory, I do, but I haven't produced the show for the last 2 weeks. It's not happening today.
How do I get that with the morning show? I'm trying to sleep in a little bit. Come on. Unbelievable. All right, so before we get out of here for this segment, Trey, on Monday, right as we were getting there for Big 12 Media Days, and you've talked about this for the last couple of weeks, you do not feel like Oklahoma is the favorite in this conference this year. You're confident that West Virginia is a team that's going to be playing for the Big 12 championship, and you're kind of back and forth on a couple of other candidates who would be that second representative to be playing in Jerry World at the end of the year representing the conference. After Big 12 Media Days, hearing coaches, hearing players, does your opinion change? Are you still in the mindset of West Virginia is right there at the top and your favorite to win this conference?
You know, Joel Klatt's notion that Oklahoma is going to be such a good running team this year that it's going to keep their defense fresh in the second halves and at the ends of ball games is an interesting concept, but I still do believe that Oklahoma misses out on the Big 12 championship game this year. And my thought right now is that we see West Virginia playing in the Big 12 championship game versus the Texas Longhorns. That's how I feel about it after seeing things play out over these last couple of days. How do you feel about
your being dropped
initial
right
predictions in terms of who you think is going to end up representing the Big 12 in that title game in Dallas here in a few months?
I feel exactly the same.
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma's the team to beat, and I like TCU I think we have a rematch of last year's Big 12 championship game. I think Oklahoma wins this league once again. I still don't believe that there's a playoff contender or a national championship contender in the Big 12 this year, which is unfortunate.
And I agree with that.
But, man, I still like Oklahoma. The running game with what Lincoln Riley can do. I mean, Kyler Murray is, in essence, a third running back. He's a beast with the ball in his hands. Rodney Anderson's a stud, preseason all-conference player. Trey Sermon's great as well. I know Oklahoma's got some holes to fill. And, hell, they're replacing maybe the best quarterback they've ever had in their story program history in Baker Mayfield. You can't do that overnight, but the league is a little bit down this year. I still have faith, unfortunately, in Oklahoma winning this conference. And TCU, once again, just Gary Patterson's a hell of a coach. He always does more with less, and they're finally starting to recruit as well as the success they've had on the field. Right? They've always, you know, they've been known as the guys I just mentioned to do more with less. They recruit 2- and 3-star kids. Somehow Gary Patterson is winning 10 games every single year, whether TCU is in the Mountain West or whether they're in the Big 12. Now they're starting to recruit some 4-star kids. I think TCU continues to stay as one of the contenders in this conference.
I know that Sean Robinson received some snaps right now. Last year. He does have some experience from his true freshman year. I just wonder if there's going to be growing pains that will be a little bit insurmountable for TCU to actually find itself in the Big 12 championship game when it's all said and done.
Every team's got questions.
No doubt.
That's why they play the game, my friend. We'll wait and see. Good to talk about football, though. Always fun. Coming up next, though, a little where are we at in society today? The pedophiles trying to rebrand themselves, which should be interesting. We will give you the latest on the Kawhi Leonard trade news. We'll recap it for you if you missed the details, but it appears that this thing is going down. Kawhi Leonard to Toronto and DeMar DeRozan, part of a package going back to San Antonio. We'll give our thoughts. We'll check in with Ari Temkin, who's all over the San Antonio Spurs beat, has been for a long, long time. We'll do that at the top of the hour, but a little where are we at in society coming up next on the Midday Show right here on the Horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK coming up in a few minutes. It is today's edition of Where Are We At in Society? However, BK, before we get to that, I did want to ask you this question based on the Kirk Bowles question that Tom Herman answered. You said that there are more players on the defensive side of the ball than offense that you consider to be championship caliber. Are there some names that come to mind when you think of championship caliber players on either side of the ball?
Guys who could be championship caliber
Absolutely.
Players for this team? If we're starting with defense, I would go with Breckenhager for sure.
Okay.
I would go with Gary Johnson,
mm-hmm.
a guy who was snubbed from the preseason All Big 12 list. Chris Boyd has turned into a championship caliber player. I would say PJ Locke has the ability. Last year, a little bit inconsistent, was battling injuries, but I think he has the ability to be a championship caliber player as well. I would say your intern in the afternoon, Charles Minihue, has that ability. Have we seen it yet? Absolutely not. But there's plenty of dudes with the chance to be conference championship caliber players.
And one guy I'm going to add to that list who I think is for sure a championship caliber player is Malcolm Roach.
Yeah, Malcolm Roach as well. Malcolm Roach as well. I like that one. And then on offense, that's where it's a question mark.
Yeah.
I think Colin Johnson and the little Jordan Humphrey are definitely championship
Agreed.
Caliber players on the outside. Now, they need a quarterback to get them the ball. I think at some point Sam Ellinger will be a conference championship caliber quarterback,
okay.
whether it's this year or one of his last 2 years at the University of Texas. We will wait and see. Obviously, Longhorn fans hope he takes that step this season.
Derek Kerstetter.
Okay. This year.
Yeah.
Okay.
This year.
I don't know. I'm not giving anybody on the offensive line championship caliber. I haven't seen it.
I would actually say Andrew Beck as well, but we're in a little bit of wait-and-see mode with him. We need to see him come back and stay healthy over an extended period of time, but I think he can be a very positive contributor to this football team this year to the degree that he helps them win a championship.
He says it's only his fifth year. This year? That can't be right, dude.
No,
dude
that's
started
correct.
College before I did. I'm convinced.
He was part of that initial Charlie Strong class. He came in as a middle linebacker. They switched him over to tight end pretty quickly.
I was at freshman orientation with that guy in 2012. I don't believe that.
Were you?
No. I just feel like I was. I feel like that dude's been here forever. There's no way it's only his fifth year. Come on, man.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the offensive line. I would like to give you a running back. I think there's a chance that, I mean, they're all 4- and 5-star recruits. At running back, you think there's a chance that one of those dudes can develop into championship caliber, championship level players, but I can't make that prediction for those guys yet.
I'll give you a running back name.
Okay.
That I don't consider
Kirk
to be
Johnson.
I don't consider to be
Stop asking about that guy. Texters every day somebody asks about that dude. Stop playing.
I don't necessarily know if he's a championship caliber player, but I know that he's a championship caliber teammate. And that's Kyle Porter.
What is this? Everybody gets a trophy day? Championship caliber teammate? Who cares? I hope they're all championship caliber teammates.
You hope.
You hope.
But that's not usually the case.
Yeah, that's what Kyle Porter's career has been subjected to. Huh? He's a championship caliber teammate. Not sure about the player.
All right, let's go ahead and hit today's version of...
Where are we at in society today?
This segment brought to you by Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. Call or text Jake today for a free estimate, 512-653-0687, or visit slplawncare.com.
Yep, one more time while we're on vacation, our current, now soon-to-be former mowers butchered our lawn once again.
How do you butcher a lawn?
Jake, they're just lazy with it. There are obvious lines where they miss spots in the front lawn. There was an entire spot where they just chose not to mow or edge right near where the steps are kind of elevated a little bit, so it's a little bit more difficult to get your lawnmower over there. They just chose not to do the work. Therefore, they're gone. Jake and Student Loan Payment Lawn Care, he's on board now.
There's a bunch of just high school stoners who are coming through mowing your lawn. They're just using that money to go get some CCs after the deal.
Look, it's not the first time that it will be said on this station that Justine is the much better half of the marriage between myself and Justine Elling.
Yeah, you're not hard to beat.
She takes care of the lawn mowing details, and now I'm about to get involved with that too because I know Jake is going to do a much better job than the schmoes that she's hired.
There you go. All right, Trey, I'm going first today. You've heard the bit, right? And this has been going on forever. I don't know if this happens anymore, and I don't know if this ever actually happened, so I need you, elder statesman on this program, to help me out here. Something that I've seen in TV shows and movies for years is... You know, you're in the bed of a pickup truck, or you're hanging out the window of a car, you've got a baseball bat, and you're driving down the street in a neighborhood, and you're banging the mailboxes. You're breaking everybody's mailbox.
Yeah, mailbox baseball.
That was an actual thing.
Yeah.
That's not a deal anymore. I think partially
Thank
because
goodness.
There's so many bricks surrounding mailboxes now, and steel and weird, you know, weird components that make it almost impossible to break a mailbox with a baseball bat. But that actually did happen back in the day.
It did in a lot of neighborhoods now, and ours is one of these. They don't even have individual mailboxes anymore. There's like a general area where people go, and that's where your mail gets delivered to. Mm. Everybody has their own box within this larger contraption, but the mailbox out in front of the house, I think, is a thing of the past.
Wow. Interesting.
Because it saves the mailman time.
Yeah.
Because they can make one stop right there, go to the next area of the neighborhood, and then just move on.
My mailbox is like at my door. It's like right to the right of the front door. And you've got to walk up an actual walkway to get there. So it's very inefficient.
Yeah, you're in that one of those older neighborhoods over off of 45th and Mopac. So that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you. But, you know, you've heard people attacking a mailbox, right? That's been going on for a while. Have you ever heard of somebody using a mailbox to attack somebody else?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what we had.
Well, happen. Somebody pulls it out of the ground and tries to swing it. Yeah. Have you not seen the World Star Hip Hop videos with this?
I have seen that. Well, that happened here in Austin, apparently, on Monday. A woman used a mailbox and a steel pole to attack another woman. Andrea Presley, 40 years old, faces a charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, which is punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison and a fine up to $10,000. Police originally received reports of a disturbance about 11 a.m. on Monday. And when officers arrived, they found a woman standing in the street with a steel pole screaming at people.
Oh my gosh.
She reportedly had walked up to this woman randomly, told her that she was going to kill her because of her cousin. That was the entire details there. Apparently, Presley grabbed the metal mailbox and threw it at the woman twice, hitting her in the hand and the head.
Jeez.
Yeah. And the woman, in return, pepper sprayed Andrea Presley.
She deserved it.
But then Presley, after getting pepper sprayed, picked up a 5-foot aluminum pole that just happened to be lying in the street, unrelated to the mailbox, and started hitting the woman with the pole.
Well, that's not good.
So she went mailbox and pole on this random woman. At least according to the story, it was a random woman. That's according to witnesses. And she was mad because of somebody's cousin. So someone must have lost some bets, it sounds like. Bucky's cousin must have been involved in this deal.
I've actually seen something like that before. It was at an old apartment that I lived in West Campus. It's no longer there. It's been replaced by a high-rise condo now.
They all are.
Called Via Vallarta back in the day. It was our neighbor who was right across the walkway from where we were. We would hang out with him from time to time, but he was kind of a weird dude, and that's me saying he was a weird dude, so you know he was really a weird dude. And he was also somebody who, he had some mental issues, something that he was open about, and occasionally those things would surface. And one time, he had been out drinking, and he was upset about something, and upset at myself or one of my roommates, and he actually pulled a light post out of the ground. It was a metal light post that had the fixture on top,
yeah,
where the light goes, and he pulled it out, pulled the wiring out because this thing was wired electrically, and starts swinging it around wildly at us, to where I had to tackle the dude, pinned him on the ground, punched him in the head to where his head actually bounced off the ground, and then he chilled out from there.
Is that a true story?
Yeah.
Or you just see that on World Star and you're just like claiming
no,
yourself.
No, I'm not.
Just crop your face over that dude and you're telling people that's your bit.
No, that is a real story. I really had to do that. I was like the one sober person that night, which I don't know how that was the case because this is in the middle of a 3 to 4 year bender for me. But I was like the one guy sober enough who actually had to calm this dude down. And I did it by tackling him, getting him on the ground and punching him in the head and bouncing his skull off the concrete.
I've been drunk before, but I don't know if I've ever pulled out a light pole out of the ground. That's never been something I've even thought of doing.
I feel like whenever I wanted to get into it with friends or people like that, it would always be fisticuffs. It wouldn't be pulling things out of the ground to try and swing them at those individuals.
I shouldn't say that. I've pulled multiple street signs out of the ground and then walked them up my stairs and thrown them off the balcony.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
man.
College. Wags, you got a story?
Yeah, I've been at a house party or two where the actual stop sign came out of the ground.
There you go. Yep.
Through a windshield or two before.
Ooh. Isn't that...
Isn't the bottom of that concrete, though? This guy was on LSD.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Man, I was not on LSD.
Isn't the bottom of that? Aren't the bottom of those signs concrete though? Like you're having to pull the concrete out with the sign?
Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're just into the grass. I mean, they're in there pretty hard, pretty good. But it's usually the construction ones that are easier to get, the temporary bits.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes those are the easy ones to remove from the ground.
All right. Well, interesting. Well, BK, got some unfortunate news for you and pretty much every other normal human being in society.
Normal.
Pedophiles are trying for an image makeover now. This is from Gay Star News.
Okay, hold on here. Gay Star News?
That's
a real news outlet.
Go to gaystarnews.com.
Is that The Onion?
No, it's Gay Star News.
Gay Star News.
This is ridiculous, yeah.
Okay, carry on.
So they're trying to hop onto the ever-expanding acronym that begins with LGBTQ. Of course, there's a plus sign. I think there's an R. There's an L. There is already an L in there. There are other letters in there. I'm not sure what all exists now, but there are multiple symbols and letters that represent people who live differently from your typical heterosexual male or female, right? And we're okay with those lifestyles, to each their own.
Sure.
But this one is taking it a little bit too far. So now child molesters, these sickos, now want to be called, instead of pedophiles or child molesters or pedos, they want to be called minor attracted persons or MAPs. They've even come up with a rainbow-colored flag that, while it's clearly different from the gay flag, has LGBT groups speaking out adamantly against these minor attracted persons. What do you think? Should we start calling them minor attracted persons, or should we stick with the pedophile slash child molester label?
Well, there are people out in our nation who don't have MAPs, and in places such as South Africa and the Iraq and everywhere like such as – oh, that's not what you're talking about? That's not what you're talking about with the MAPs? I thought Miss Teen USA was like 11 years ahead of this deal.
Jeez.
No, I'm not rewarding pedophiles. I'm not rewarding child molesters by giving them a custom nickname that doesn't make them sound as bad as they actually are. The hell with them.
I feel like we should come up with some sort of meeting place for these pedophiles to come together to officially register themselves.
Why do they like want to be known by something? Like, if you're a pedophile, don't you try to do that on the down low? Because if you get caught, you're going to jail. Like, why are you trying to give yourself a title?
I thought these were the one that were registered already, these were the ones that had to go around saying that.
Oh, so they're looking for jobs, yeah, and they're not pedophiles.
They want to take a lesser hit.
Minor attracted person.
I feel like maybe that's part of it. I feel like it's just pedos in general want to be called minor attracted persons because pedo or child molester or pederast has such a negative connotation to it. I wonder why. Attracted person.
Yeah, I don't think minor attracted person has much more of a positive connotation.
I mean, that's
still doesn't sound good, which it shouldn't because they're not good people. But God, no, I'm not down for that. I'm not down to reward them.
So
unless they have to wear a shirt around that says minors attracted person, so you know. Otherwise, nah, I'm still gonna call it pedophiles.
So LGBTQ plus RLMNO community, I am totally with you here. The pedos are not allowed to hop on board your acronym.
See, the sad thing is I'm not sure if you're joking with all the letters you just mentioned. Like, at this point, I don't know. I just don't know how many letters are actually in what started as LGBT. And then it was the Q, and then it was the plus. Out of each his own.
There's an I in there now.
The whole point of an abbreviation is that it's short.
There's a P.
You can't have an abbreviation that's 14 letters. Just say all the damn words at that point. All right. I shouldn't be taking this out on them. I'm mad at the child molesters. That's who we're mad at here. We're taking a break. There's Where Are We At in Society Today. We appreciate the love and support from our sponsors and from everybody tuning in today. All right. Coming up next, hey, the All-Star Game came and went last night. Relatively entertaining. A couple of All-Star days for Major League Baseball. Some high drama at the Home Run Derby and free baseball last night at the All-Star Game. We'll recap it. We'll give our thoughts next. Reminder, top of the hour, Ari Temkin from Phantom will join the program. He has been locked in on the Kawhi Leonard situation for a long, long time. And, well, it's finally over. There has been a trade. Kawhi Leonard is headed north of the border to Toronto. We'll recap the details of that deal, give our thoughts, and plenty more on a Wednesday edition, Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, thank you very much for the Gorillaz Wags. Always appreciate the good music that you are spinning, not only on this show, but also the Rodcast as well. Heard somebody over the last couple of days in Dallas talk about how great Rod's music was, and I said, well, that's part Rod. The intro music is Rod. The end of show music is Rod, but that's all Adam Wagner that is picking the music out. So
we didn't get a compliment on it for our show.
Yeah, that was weird. But he's also catering it to my cracker ass. You have much better musical taste than I do, but he's catering it to my cracker ass. And
I came up on this kind of stuff, too.
Huh?
I came up on a little bit of this stuff, too.
Yeah, you and I have a little bit of crossover in terms of our musical influences, but I feel like you have a lot more in common with Rod and BK, and you let that show more on Rod's program.
I'm about the Gorillaz, man. I'm a fan of that.
Are you?
That song that
was
just played.
Not for like, once, all three of us are on board with the same band.
I mean, I know probably five of their songs, so I'm not going to sit here and say like I'm a huge fan by any stretch.
But like that one.
All of their songs that have become famous, I like.
Feel Good Inc.
And a couple of other ones. Yeah. Very interesting tweets, Trey. And this might have to push back our MLB All-Star Game talk.
That's fine.
And, I mean, if you missed the game, we'll mention what happened. The American League won last night in 10 innings. Alex Bregman of the Houston Astros was named MVP. Of course, he hit the go-ahead home run in the top of the 10th. George Springer also went back-to-back on the next pitch, and it was against Ross Stripling of the Dodgers. So Astros fans got a little positive deja vu as the Astros' best hitters taking advantage of Dodger pitching. That'll never get old for Houston fans, and Dodgers fans are like, damn it, this again. But the AL wins their sixth All-Star game in a row. If you hadn't watched baseball in 5 years, Trey, and you're just like, you know what, I'm going to see what baseball is like nowadays. I haven't watched in the last 5, 10, 15 years. All-Star game, the best talent, let's see what this is like. You got a perfect example of what baseball is in 2018. Every run, except for one, was scored via the long ball. You had 10 home runs, which is far and away an All-Star game record. The previous record was 6. And you had a ton of strikeouts.
I feel like they juiced the ball last night.
You think so?
Yeah.
You're not the first person I've heard say that. But that is what baseball is like nowadays. It's the long ball and it's the strikeout. And that was last night was a prime example of what baseball is nowadays in 2018. But the AL gets the win. Always worth reminding people because the rule changed a couple of years ago, but it's just a scrimmage, right? The MLB All-Star Game no longer determines which league will have home field advantage in the World Series. So just for fun, Alex Bregman wins MVP. He gets a car. He gave it to his mom. Good stuff last night. lot of fun and games in our nation's capital.
I guess it makes it a little bit tricky because of who the managers are each year, like who's representing each side in terms of the managers and coaching staff. But I feel like at this point, they may as well do something where there's like a draft or there's a U.S. versus the world or some other bit other than AL versus NL to really add to the excitement of the game itself.
Yeah, I'm with you. They got to do more challenges, man. Pitching challenges, yep. Throwing challenge, base running challenge, fielding challenge, something more than the home run derby just to create some more excitement. But we'll save that conversation for another day. Some tweets from about 15 minutes ago.
Okay.
From a lifetime Longhorn, current Baltimore Raven, Deshaun Elliott.
All right.
This is not good.
Uh-oh.
Not good tweets. There's four back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Here we go. I'd really appreciate it if anyone on the current staff at the University of Texas football team besides Craig Kniver, Jason Washington, or Kyle Coates would keep my name out of their mouth and continue to bad-talk me or any other junior that decided to leave early. We led our team the best we could before making a decision to better our families, which I believe you would do the same. If you really loved, quote-unquote, loved your players the way you portray, then you wouldn't continually talk bad about them behind closed doors. Bad-mouthing us to our brothers, who we played for and cried and sweat for way before you stepped on campus. I kept my mouth quiet about this. It's the complete opposite of my personality, but it has to come to an end. It's been a continuous thing for far too long, dash the Joker, which is Deshaun's nickname.
Wow.
That is not good. My first thought here, probably shouldn't be this, but as a fan of the University of Texas, this will now be used as a recruiting tool by Oklahoma, by Texas A&M, by Texas Tech, by Baylor, by every other conference in the Big 12. Oh, you're thinking about going to Texas? Well, look at this. If you decide to leave early to pursue your dream in the NFL, they're going to badmouth you behind closed doors. Well, what are the players saying behind your back? You won't get that here. That happens in Texas. That doesn't happen here. That's the number one thought. Number two, this is not good. He didn't mention Tom Herman in that list. He didn't mention Todd Orlando in that list. It's all position coaches and Kyle Coates. So Deshaun Elliott.
Who's Kyle Coates?
I don't know. Must be a quality assistant or something like that on the defense. What if it's just like one of his buddies or something like that? He's like, Kyle Coates, he's a friend of mine, he's okay. University, yeah, defensive quality control coach at the University of Texas, Kyle Coates. That is interesting. That is not good. I don't support bad-mouthing players behind their back, and we talk about it on this show plenty of times. Look, we obviously would have loved those guys to come back for another year, but at the end of the day, it's their lives, it's their decision. They've got a chance to go make money playing professional football. And it's a sport where each and every play could be your last. So go get your money while you can. While you can't, young blood. I get it. I'm all for it. I don't like that this bad mouthing happens in general. And I really don't like that it's getting back to some of the players. That to me shows that the culture that we've heard so much about, the team chemistry, Tom Herman saying the other day, yesterday, at Big 12 Media Days, that this is the closest knit group he feels like Texas has had in a long time. That tells me. These Deshaun Elliott tweets tell me that all of that is a load of BS because it ain't there.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there was friction amongst the guys who chose to leave early and not play in the bowl game with the Texas coaching staff because, if I'm not mistaken, I don't believe anybody other than Malik Jefferson, who was trying to play up until the day of the bowl game, were allowed on the sidelines for the Texas Longhorns during the Texas Bowl. I believe at least a couple of the guys were having to watch that game from the stands. And if that was the case, it's understandable why the coaches did things that way, but it's also understandable why the players would be upset. So maybe this is just that frustration really now boiling to a head. And look, if you're going to talk negatively about somebody, if this is happening,
right?
And I would assume that it's happening to some degree if Deshaun Elliott is coming out with this, if dudes are telling him that it's actually happening,
mm-hmm.
Got to be smarter than to do it to guys that a guy like Deshaun Elliott has known for, what, the last 3+ years and probably even longer than that, going back to his high school days, because it may have a tendency to get back to him.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And the players are close, man. Players will side with players over the coaches. There's no doubt about that. And Deshaun Elliott mentioned it in those tweets. And those are the guys they cry for. Those are the guy they those are the guys they give their blood, sweat, and tears for. It's the brothers. It's not for coaches. And that's a shame. I mean, that means that conversation's being had, and that probably means current players, guys in the locker room, texted Deshaun Elliott, communicated with him that, hey, these coaches are talking bad behind your back. And that's a problem. And that shows that this current group is not fully bought into this current locker room. And that shows that, the chemistry is just not there with this Texas football program. Like we were hoping it was, and like Tom Herman has kind of preached that it was. There's still some rift between players and coaches, it sounds like. And that's not good.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
So that is a good find there, BK.
Thank you.
We're going to have to talk more about this.
We will.
Actually, after the commercial break, let's maybe discuss this a little bit more since we'll have a chance to process
it. We'll get back into that. Ari Tempkins pushed back to 11:30, so we'll get more Spurs conversation there with the Kawhi Leonard trade. We'll also talk about that in our next segment as well. We'll do a little Tinder time with Adam Wagner, but crazy Twitter bombs being dropped by Lifetime Longhorn Deshaun Elliott this morning. We're taking a break. Couple more hours to go. It's the Midday Show. This is The Horn.